I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't think that all the headaches and the heart knocks will be on my head. Dr. Toh is still the senior pastor, so both of us will shoulder, so it'll be lighter on both of us. Once again, I also want to encourage you to come to Sunset Gospel Hour. Indeed, when Dr. Toh just mentioned just now that God bless all of you who come, I remember younger days when I came here with my family and my three children, and we were seated there always in front and almost without fail. And my children then were teenagers. And I believe that through the years, well, they have to come. Dad and mom say come, means they come. And I believe that through the years, each Sunday, they came, they heard the gospel, including both my wife and myself. We have been blessed by the preaching of the word. And today, my children have grown up. And I think that the word of God that they have heard all those years from this pulpit have been effective in their lives. So at times, they may stray away, but then the Holy Spirit will always bring to remembrance the word of God in their lives, impact them, and guide their lives. So I want to encourage all of you to come to Sunset Gospel Hour. Just one Sunday, 1 week, one day a week to spend your life here. And don't do anything, even though you think that it is very necessary, unless, of course, you are a nurse and you have to work. But if you have no other work, do come, because the Lord will be coming very soon. Why don't you come and hear the word of God and be with God's people? Now, this morning, the message is entitled, God is Light. You please turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 1, and the topic is taken from verse 5 of that chapter. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is light. How does this declaration that God is light impact our Christian life, our thinking, our feelings, our actions, and our will? How does it transform my daily life? How does it affect my relationship with God, with Christians, and with non-Christians? I think John the Apostle here points out a very important or essential truth concerning the Lord our God. And if we learn well this truth, we will do well in our life, in our relationship with God and with one another. Now, how do we understand the statement, God is light? I believe here that John uses it in two senses. Let us look at a few passages of scriptures. John wrote the book of Revelation. Let us look at the book of Revelation. Turn to chapter 21 of the book of Revelation. 21. And then verse 11. Let me read to you. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Go down to verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb. And definitely the Lamb here is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, is the light thereof. Revelation 22, verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And so we have here, John wrote the book of Revelation, Just as he wrote the first John, he speaks here in Revelation of the new heaven and new earth. And he says here that in that new heaven and new earth, there's no need for the light of the sun. But the glory of God will light the heaven, the new heaven, and the new earth. So in other words, when he's used the phrase, the expression, God is light, he means literally, God is light. Like you have this light here, you have the sunlight, but God's light is brighter, more brilliant than these lights, than even the sunlight. God is light. And God's light is much better than all these light, even better than the sunlight. Although we know that the light of the sun is very good, it is necessary for life, but then if you stand too long in the sunlight, what will happen? You will grow dark. You will get sunburned. You will get sick, sunstroke, and all kinds of stroke. But if you stand in the light of God for a long time, what will happen? You remember about Moses who went up to Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, and there he spoke. God spoke to him face to face. And there was the glory of God, the light of God shone towards him. And he was many days up on that mountain talking to God. But when he came down, what did the people see? What did the people see in him? They saw that the skin of his face shone, glow. They were even afraid to see him. That is the kind of light God is. The light, and it shines upon you, is a light that heals, that strengthens. And so here Paul, here John tells us that God is light, meaning that God is literally light. And our Lord Jesus Christ is also the Lamb, it says here, is light. And you remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth and up in that mountain, he was transfigured. Yes. And his face shone and his raiment on became light. And so God is light here, tells us that he is literally light. Now, what is the response? If we know that this glory of God, which is light, which is so brilliant, so glorious, so wonderful, and one day you cannot imagine now, but one day we are going to meet God, and I think that day is very soon. When the trumpet calls, all of us will be snatched up to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we will be brought into the presence of God, who is light. What is your response? In the Old Testament, when you and I see the light of God, this unregenerate heart sees the light of God, what will happen to us? Do you know? We will fall dead. It's only by the grace of God that Moses did not drop dead when God spoke to him. But with our regenerated heart, with that new glorious body, with the Lord Jesus Christ, will transform us when he comes. We will see that light, that beautiful, great, glorious, brilliant light. What is your response? That is your God and my God, our God, the God of the Bible, the God whom Jesus Christ came to manifest. What is our response? This is our God. And you will look, when you go to heaven, all the angels will fall prostrate and sing praises and worship and adore him. But today, what is your knowledge of God? What do you know about God? We think God to be very small, or a vending machine. We want a drink, we go to him. Whenever we have need, we always come to God. We put one whole list of things and ask him for this and that. And then when God does not answer, we get very angry with him. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to read the Bible. And this is sometimes our concept of God. What a poor and terrible concept of God. As Christians, you know, as Christians, that's wrong. And so John here tells us that God is light, that brilliant light, that you and I cannot be in his presence and be in that light and yet still be alive. No. But since we have the Holy Spirit in us, we can enjoy that light, have fellowship with God. And so one effect or result of this knowledge that God is light should move us to adore him, to worship him, to want to draw close to him, to love him, and to serve him. Are you doing all these things? Now, here John tells us of this truth, of this light, the light that God is light. You know this truth. I know this truth. Now, are we living in the sphere of this truth? Are we living in accordance to this truth? Are you? I challenge you. You ask yourself. You examine yourself. Now, let us move on. Here also John used the expression God is light in a metaphorical sense, because in verse 5 he says, and in him there is no darkness at all. And so here we readily accept, and we are correctly to accept, that the word light here is used metaphorically. For example, all right, we have just learned, turn to Psalm 119, Psalm 19. Thy word is a what? It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word, a light. And so here light represents word. Thy word is. And then it says in verse 130, it says, the entrance of thy word giveth what? Light. So God is light. And light here, metaphorically used, means the word of God. The word of God that is given to us. That in all that is contained here, the whole knowledge of God, the knowledge of God that God reveals to us, this revelation that God has given to us in his book from Genesis to Revelation. So here, God is light. Can be understood in the sense that God is the source of all true knowledge, all truth, and all wisdom. Turn to Psalm 36, verse 9. For with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light. And so the light is the word of God. The fountain of life. The true knowledge. God has that knowledge. The source of all knowledge. Now let me ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. So what is meant by this? that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. So the light here, the light of the gospel here, means the truth concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. From verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again, and the third day according to the scriptures. This is the gospel in a nutshell. You see, in verse 15, Paul says that, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you. And in verse 3, he says, for I delivered unto you the first of all, and that's the gospel. So the gospel of Jesus Christ first begins with that Christ, begin that statement, that declaration that Christ died for our sins. That's the truth. The truth, first of all, concerning ourselves. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we are condemned, for whosoever believeth not in the Lord Jesus Christ is condemned already. Condemned to where? If we don't believe in the Lord Christ, we perish. Where? And so when you read the word of God, God reveals to us that there are two places after our abode here, short stay in on this earth. And when we die, there are only two places that we can go, heaven and hell. And if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will go to heaven. And if we do not confess our sin, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we go to hell. But God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross, that believing in him, we should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the light, this gospel light, is the truth that tells us about our sinful state, the need of a Savior. And if we are not a believer, we are heading towards an eternal damnation and suffering and torment forever and ever. But it also tells us about Christ. And who is Christ? That he is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, whom God sent. And God sent him because what? Because God is love. And God loves us. So this gospel, the light of the gospel, tells us so many things concerning God, who loves us, who wants to reconcile us to him. It tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ, also his Son, who also loved us unto the uttermost, who saved us unto the uttermost, who came and voluntarily sacrificed his life so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven, can be wiped out, can be cleansed by his blood, provided we believed in him. And then he says, according to the scriptures, as revealed in the word of God, and that he was buried and that he rose again. And so we have the truth of the resurrection again on the third day. And the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ means that he is still alive. He is in heaven. He ascended up and he said that I will come back again. And so that is the gospel. The light of the gospel. So God is light. Means that means his word, the revelation of truth, the source of all truth, concerning himself, concerning man, concerning the destiny of this world. Yet there is another aspect of God is light. We see now here one aspect concerning his knowledge, the source of all knowledge, all truth, but the other aspect that God is light concerns his moral attributes. Moral attributes. Let us turn to Psalm 27 to understand these moral attributes of God. Psalm 27. Here it mentions, the psalmist mentioned at the very beginning, David here mentioned at the very outset of this psalm, the Lord is my light and my salvation, in whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. of whom shall I be afraid? And so he projects for us here the understanding that God loves his people. The Lord is my light, my salvation. The God loves him, was gracious to him, saved him. So God is love here with regard to his moral attribute. God loves David. Whom shall I fear? God will protect him, he says here. The Lord is the strength of my life. God gives him strength. And then if you look down through the psalm here, look at verse 7. And it says here, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me." And David here says that he can approach God and pray to God and ask him for mercy. So it's revealing to us that God is a merciful God, that he is close, that he hears us. Verse 8, "When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." And so God loves us to come to him. "Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." And so as you go down the psalm, you see here the moral attributes of God. And there are many other verses in the Bible reveals to us that God loves us and cares for us, that God is holy. Didn't God say it? Peter even repeated that in Leviticus. "Be ye holy as I am holy." So the moral attributes of God is embodied in that statement, that expression, God is light. So God reveals that he is holy, he is righteous, he is pure. God loves, God is love, God cares. And in him there is no evil, no sin. None at all. Now, how does this truth apply to our lives? I think John put it, "If God is light and in him there is no darkness, how should this impact our Christian life? How should we live?" You and I are Christians. We have the light. We are the children of light, says Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We are the children of light because God is light. We are the children of light. We have the knowledge of truth, of all truth we have, because God is the source of all truth. We know what to be holy, how to be holy, what it is to be holy, to be pure, to be righteous, to be loving, to be caring. God is light. We are children of light. Then how should we live our Christian life? Verse 6 of 1 John chapter 1. The application is here. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and so John says, if we say we have fellowship with him, and I believe that almost all of us here, if not all of us here, are Christians. We have come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been reconciled to God. We are not at enmity with God anymore. God has adopted us, called us his children. We have that fellowship with God. But John says, if we say, if we profess, and all of us profess that, and walk in darkness, we lie and walk and do not the truth. Walk in darkness is the opposite of what God is. We lie. In what way do we lie? In what way? You see, we just mentioned about God is light. That glorious, brilliant light. Don't you love the light? Don't you love the day? How many of you love the night more than the day? I think all of us love the day. All of us, whether you are Christian or non-Christians, will love the day more than the night. We'll love the sun more than darkness, right? The moment in your house at night you switch on the light. When there is a blackout, what happened? You sit down and do nothing and just sing a song? No, you will run around. You take a torchlight, you switch on, and then you want to find some candles and light up to give light. We love the light. As Christians, we know the light. But how? We know God is light, so brilliant, He's so holy, He's so wonderful, He cares. And then if we walk in darkness, we lie. Let me challenge you. Let me apply in this way, in a very specific way. Is your God the only living and true God? The all-powerful God? The source of all true knowledge? And God's light, the word of God is light. Lamp unto our feet, light unto our path. And why is it when you tell Christians, when you tell other people that, when you recite all these verses and you tell others, you witness to others, this is my God, a great God, the living and true God, the God who created all this universe, He's so wonderful, in Him is the source of all true knowledge. And then ask you to come to church, you don't come. You lie. You lie. I lie. We are all liars. That's what John is saying. You see, that means you are not walking in that light. You are not walking in the true knowledge of that light. You only know how to say, but it has no impact on your life. Then you lie. Then John can put a big question mark. Are you truly a child of God? If really your God is that kind of God, you go there and then you sit down, He's going to preach the word of God, and there's a faithful preaching of the word of God here. There's the light concerning life. And yet you don't come. And you would rather read other kind of light. Small light. Then John says, we lie. We do not the truth. You see? Examine ourselves. And so John carries on and say, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. First, the one with another with God. In the context here, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God first. So if we lie, you go around and then we witness to other people, this is my God. The blessings of salvation is so wonderful. And yet, we don't love the Bible. We don't read the Bible. We don't pray as much as we should. There is, in our life, we don't show ourselves that kind of zeal, that kind of enthusiasm, that kind of joy whenever we speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we lie. And then that fellowship can be broken with God. Because God sees our God is not a thing. It's not a force. It's not an energy. He is the living and true God. He's a person. He sees, He hears. You hypocrite. How can I have fellowship with you when you walk in darkness when I am light? And that fellowship is broken. And you know, when that fellowship is broken, and that is sin as far as God is concerned, that fellowship is broken. And when that fellowship is broken, you and I kneel down to pray to the Lord and we cry to Him, God says He will not hear us. Psalm 66 verse 18, if thou regard iniquity in your heart, I will not hear you. When we don't walk in the light, when God is light and walk in darkness, how can we expect God to hear us? And that is why, the reason why, when we kneel down until we have what? Until our knees all grow those corns. And then God never hears us. Why? Why are your prayers are not answered? Not because God is deaf, that you must shout louder and say more many times, that God is so dumb that you must say, repeat it so many times. No. Always go back to ourselves first. Examine ourselves. We are not walking in the light. We are not walking in the light. Remember when the Israelites, they want to take Ai at the first time and then they fail. They were not successful. And Joshua went down on his knees, rent his clothes, and then prayed to God, what is this, God? What is this? You send us to kill us all here? And then God turned around, you, get up, you. God told you, get up and remove the sin within Israel. And because of Achan. See? Examine ourselves. Walk. And so John says, if we walk in the light, he is who as he is in the light, we have fellowship one first with God, and then we have fellowship with one another. In the sphere of who God is, his holiness, his purity, his love, his mercy, his grace, his kindness. And so we can have true fellowship one with another. That's what is it, to walk in the light, each one of us. How wonderful it is. There is no community in the world like this community of Christians whose sins have been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom each one of us resides the Holy Spirit. And then when we have fellowship with one another, we express also, we reflect the character of God. Just as Moses, you know, he went up, he saw God, God spoke to him, he came down, his skin, the skin of his face, as the Bible says, shone, glow with that light, reflecting that light. We who have come to God, to God, who is light, we should reflect that character of God, the moral character of God. And when each one of us reflect that, we come together, we have fellowship one with another, what can you ask for in this world? Sometimes we don't come to church, it's an indictment against one another, you know. If all of us love one another, don't you want to come to church? Sure, look around beside you or in front or the back of you. Do you know the person? Do you love the person? Do you care for the person? Or we will all come. All of you are strangers still. Only a few of you know each other. And then you feel you cluster together, sit together. But the others, I do not know. And then one day you meet and then you introduce, where you come from? Calvary Pandang. Oh, I also from Calvary Pandang. How many years? 5 years. You don't know each other. Terrible. It's terrible. Walk. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And here it is implied to us as we walk, yes, when we walk together, there will be times when we will knock against one another, accidentally we step on one person's toes, you know, and then, or we sin against God. And John here says that you don't worry, you confess your sins, and God, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, will cleanse us from all sin. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I don't think every Christian will say that we have no sin. But sometimes we may find that Christians may say that because they live a life, such a holy life, they think that they have no more sin. No. We still sin. We still sin. But there are people who are non-Christians who do not believe what is sin is, and say, I have no sin. And when they say I have no sin, and Jesus Christ came to die for sinners, so there is no need for them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But John says what? If a person thinks this way, he deceives himself. Now to deceive others is bad and wrong. But to deceive yourself is terrible. And you don't know. That is even worse. To deceive yourself. It's very sad and it's disastrous. Because you do not know the truth. Whether you believe or not, whether you say that you have no sin, it does not make the does not remove the fact that you are a sinner and you need Jesus Christ. And if you die and you tell yourself you have no sin, you don't have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you die, it doesn't mean that that's the end of everything. You are on the other side of the world, but there are only two places. The reality of what God says here will happen, surely happen, and you will find yourself in hell. You have deceived yourself. And it is so very, very sad and disastrous. When you are there, you cannot tell the Lord Jesus Christ, give me a second chance. Now I know, I go back. No, I will serve you for the rest of my life and I will go to the ends of the world, even to Timbuktu, to preach the gospel. And Jesus Christ says, no, you have your chance already. No more second. We deceive ourselves. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Understand, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But let's look at verse 9 here. God is light. He has revealed to us the truth. Now, if we confess our sins, all right, now if we are convicted that we are sinners, we do sin in our walk, our Christian walk with God and with one, in our relationship with one another, our fellowship with one another, we do sin. And then God, here, John says, if we confess our sins. Now, many times when we pray, we always give a general prayer, Lord, forgive all my sins. Thank you for cleansing me all my sins. Every time we say that, all my sins, it means nothing, you know. First of all, God already, positionally, the Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all our sins, past, present, and future. Positionally. Otherwise, you and I cannot stand before God. But what John is saying here, in our walk, in our daily life, when we sinned. And so the confession should be specific. When we go down our knees privately and we talk to God and we confess our sins. Confess our sin means the knowledge of your sin, and you confess and you repent. Say, I go on my knees and God bring to remembrance you hate somebody. For the whole of last week, you say bad things about that person. Every time the name is mentioned only, you say bad, lah, this bad, he's bad, everything, all bad about that person. Each person you meet. And so when I go on my knees and God tells me, you know, that is a sin. And then you try to struggle and say, no, you see, God, he's a terrible person. He's no good. How he treated me and all these type of things, is worse. But God tells me that, no, it's sin. And so what do? I must confess that sin. Okay, Lord, I submit to you. Your word has convicted me. You are that light, and the light has shone upon me, and the light shows all the sin in my life, specific sin. And I have to confess them one by one, mentioning and repent. And then God says that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So please do not pray generally, Lord, forgive all my sins. Once for all, A to Z, forgive all my sins. No. When God reveals a specific sin to you, you confess that sin, you repent, and God says he will forgive. You tell God, say, forgive all my sins. Say, which sin? God will say, position is forgiven all our sins, but there are specific sins. We must confess that specific sin. And if we say that we have not sinned, oh, I'm too holy, I have not sinned, you make God a liar, because God is light, and God has shown that we can sin and will sin. Now, how does this all impact us? God is light, the source of all true knowledge. He tells us about himself and his moral attributes. We know this. John tells us this. Walked in the light. And if we do not, we know the light, and yet we walk not in the light, but walk in darkness, we lie. We lie. Are we liars? Maybe to this morning we must resolve, I am not going to lie. Of course, we might fall short, as John is saying here, we might fall short and sin. Then confess your sin and God will. Maybe this morning you are convicted of a sin. You have not been walking according to that light, but have been walking in darkness. Then we lie to ourselves. We lie to everyone. That sin. Let's confess that sin first. And ask God, like the psalmist David, for mercy, for strength, for courage, to walk in the light as he is in the light. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word. And we thank you for your love for us and for the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess, Lord, our sins to you. Oh, help us each to bring to remembrance, Lord, our specific sin, that we may confess and repent. And we thank you, Father, for the assurance of your word, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us. Oh Father, guide and lead us to walk in fellowship with you, to walk in the light as you are light. Hear this, our prayer, our cry of help and mercy in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.